Okay, so I'd like to call the February 18th meeting of Ways and Means to order. It's 5:25. Could you call roll, please?
Archer?
Here.
Ronk? Bartels?
Here.
Gavaris?
Present.
Haynes?
Here.
Mayo?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Okay. Resolutions, let's go right into resolutions. Resolution 18, confirming appointment of Tyrone E. Wilson as your Ulster County Commissioner of Human Rights.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
I think Ken wanted to speak to this.
Really? Okay, so let's hold this. All right, we'll hold it till Ken. Can we find out where he is?
Yeah, I am now. Okay.
Pardon me? Okay, let's go to Resolution 28 then. Authorizing the issuance of an additional 150,000 bonds of the County of Ulster to pay part of the cost of the replacement of windows at Ulster Community College campus, SUNY Ulster Stone Ridge.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ken, we held off on the first resolution.
Okay.
We got here Resolution 18, confirming the appointment of Tyrone E. Wilson. We had, it was moved by everyone. You had something you wanted to say?
You're good, Ken?
Yeah.
Heidi thought you may have had a comment.
You know, I thought he interviewed well at Laws and Rules, and, you know, I have no problem supporting him.
Okay.
Sorry.
All in favor, then?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Resolution 36, authorizing the issuance of an additional $563,271,000 in bonds, the County of Ulster, New York, to pay part of the cost of the upgrade to the countywide radio system. This is 100% New York State.
Second.
Reimbursed. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 39, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for the Byrne-JAG interest grant.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay, so we had some follow-ups on this.
Yeah.
This is a reimbursement for services rendered, but the big question became, you know, are these attached to positions? Should people be eliminated? Because that's what the resolution was when it was originally submitted. I know that we found out that it was being suspended based on our current immigration status of the state of New York. Are you going to continue this program even though, do we know?
So
it's funded for the year, isn't it?
Well, it's funded, but we're not going to get the revenue. Will the revenue be covered elsewhere for this program? For this particular,
out of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there may be some money here because we're down 4 attorneys right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been a month and a half in, 2 months in.
Okay.
So I assume that we've already saved $100,000 or so.
Mm-hmm. So for the purposes of these kinds of resolutions, Ken and I spoke about this earlier. We're going to, with the findings folks, create a process so that when a job, when grants dry up and they go away, we'll create a process that sends it back to, with some very specifics that go back to the Standing Committee of Origination for a review with the departments on how they're going to handle it, particularly in a given year. So that there'll be conversation at the committee level, and there'll be determination at that point what the next steps are, and it'll be flagged for budget purposes. Tracy?
Well, and also we talked about last week making sure that we're capturing whatever data we need so that we can make the decision, as in this circumstance where the funding dries up, whether or not we actually
value the program. Right.
Fund it.
Right.
It's a conversation with the department as well, yeah.
So, yeah, so between last week and this week, that's exactly kind of what I scrambled to do. And it's interesting, and I think it's important for us for recognizing going forward, for a lot of these programs, how you identify what added value really is. Because, you know, are you counting the number of people served? Are you counting something that perhaps is a little bit more qualitative? A lot of these funding sources only want number of people served, but they don't actually ask you to report. So, you know, if you do just take that kind of information and just count how many people are served, it doesn't really speak to the true benefits of these kinds of programs. It doesn't tell us, like in this particular one, whether in a situation where the partner shouldn't have been taken out of the household wasn't, because the lower level of interaction meant more of a warning. It doesn't tell us when, you know, inappropriate reaction versus appropriate reactions and whether it's a healthier approach to domestic violence. It'll only tell us how many people were served.
So that's an important factor, and I know that qualitatively that's part of some of the work that's being done at the county exec level,
right.
So that there's performance measures. It's not just how many widgets or
right,
how many
exactly.
people are served by the program, but the effectiveness of the program. And so,
I'm going to add one more thing
sure.
to it. It's also what happens in its absence. What fills those gaps? And I think that
that's a good point.
The other thing that really I identified with this is there isn't a lot filling these gaps. And so, to me, it's actually less relevant whether they're going to call it IPVI or not, but more relevant that they're going to have the opportunity to continue to provide these services to victims and the accused in a way that's healthy and meaningful. And I don't care what it's called, but, you know, that they get to do that kind of thing, and how do we quantify that, and how do we
and I think that's something that we're going to be working towards, and I think all committees should start to take that. We've talked about this before. What are the things that we should be measuring, not just how many people go through a program? And the whole point of that is so that they're coming back and justifying, here's why we want to continue the program. And so any help that a standing committee can give to the department head in those conversations, along with the work that's being done to create KPIs for the department, I think that can add value to the mm-hmm. process. But without the conversation, we're not getting there. So I think this is a start. We're not going to get it right out of the box, but I think there's opportunity to learn from that and grow. And I think that all of us can be a part of helping to frame that.
That's great. So what are we going to do with this one?
So I think we're taking the money. This is really services already rendered. But I would ask that you, through the standing committee, work with the DA to talk about what you're doing with the program. Because as was pointed out last week, we do have the expenses budgeted, but we have lost the revenue. So I think we need to have a conversation. How do we fill that gap? Yes.
Can I just ask a question? Did the resolution get changed in the prior committee? I don't remember. Because I think there's language in the resolution right now that says if the funding goes away, that the program goes away.
Right. I guess that's where I spoke to the fact that I don't care whether they call it IPVI or not. It doesn't necessarily say if the funding goes away, they stop providing quality services to victim and the accused. And so I think that needs to be the conversation. I will say that
which goes back to the issue of that's the process we're trying to create, particularly mm-hmm. where, because we were consistent in some places adding that language
right.
and not in others, but the reality is if funding goes away, we need to address that. What's the process? And that's what we're trying to
yeah.
do.
I'll just add the DCGS has said that they will continue to support John Jay as the consulting for this, and they're the ones who created this project in the first place. So even if they can't fund the individual people, they can fund the support system for it. But we can talk about it more in committee.
Right. Okay. All right.
That line isn't.
I'm sorry?
Maybe that line isn't necessary for this particular resolution, but that it says that.
That line is in there, though, still.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, okay.
I make a motion we strike that line. On this resolution.
Okay, let's strike.
If that makes everybody feel more comfortable for now.
But it doesn't release responsibility to follow up and do as, you know, the process we're trying to create.
And Eve has said that she plans on doing that,
so
that's why I'm comfortable with it.
So on the resolution as amended.
Well, I made a motion.
You
gotta
do the amendment.
Second.
And so you're made.
All in favor?
You already made the. Okay. Sorry.
No, but we never voted on it, so.
Okay.
Aye.
All in favor? Opposed. Okay. On to the next.
No.
On the resolution.
Oh, no. Okay. So the resolution as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Well,
Thank you. Right. Resolution 41, authorizing installation of natural gas piping to the Ulster County Law Enforcement Center.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay.
Sorry, I jumped the gun.
Nope, that's quite all right. $108,000, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, resolution 42, establishing capital project number 556, relocation of various departments, Department of Public Works. It's $165,000 bonding in this resolution for the move of the information services. Second?
Second.
Okay, so we had some follow-ups. Departments that have moved to date have been Economic Development, Safety, Insurance, DOP, WI, DWI, Veteran Services, and Dutch's Conflict Defender. Technology and the cost for technology. Oh, and the new server room, which is under a different capital number, right?
No, it'll be the same once this is established. When we have that price, we'll come back and amend this capital for that amount. It'll be within
this
the same
$3 million
in the capital program. It's a $3 million capital. We're only establishing it for $165,000 now because that's what we need to actually move IS in with materials and furniture. Mm-hmm. And then when we have the price, the server room is actually going to be basically constructed off-site and just installed. When we have that price, we'll come back to amend this capital.
Chairwoman, yes. I think that their plan is to continue to amend this as departments move. So, you know, this is for the first phase of the IS, and then they'll amend it, you know, for the server room, and then if we move
another
weights
department.
And measures, they'll amend it for the amount of money it costs to, you know, move weights and measures.
But we don't plan on exceeding the $3 million that's in the capital.
So the one question I had, and I'm sure you responded, did you respond about the furniture issue? You know, one of the things that came up, what was the furniture count for? Is that here?
So the workstations alone,
originally you gave us some comparison, which I thought was really helpful, between the Restorative Justice Center, but you combined technology and furniture in the...
But it was also...
Oh, I see.
Just so we understand, that was for 8 staff, the Restorative Justice Center, and basically a conference room, which is a little different than... This has workstations and office equipment for...
11
furniture for 28.
It's super square footage, but not it's offices to cubicles comparison, so it's a little apples to oranges. But just giving you the number was a rough estimate of where we were for that project.
Okay.
Eve?
So, you know, I by no means want to slow down the process of moving IS. I'm sure they need to move. They probably needed to move like 5 years ago. But that said, you know, the conversation we had last week was wanting to have a full sense of the larger scale needs, how this, we wanted more itemization, you know, I don't even know how many workstations there are. And I feel like it's really important to get into the habit of doing things in that kind of detail way. Again, I'm not looking to slow down IS. I'm not looking to create these barriers to a move that probably needs to happen. But at the same time, how do we ensure that the habit is followed?
So to that point, we just had a leadership meeting, and we're going to recommend a joint meeting between Ways and Means and DPW and the Public Works and Capital Projects Group to drill down more deeply into the capital plan. I found some inconsistencies, some information missing. So we feel that if we can have a joint meeting and start to go through that, get a better understanding of the projects that are included in the plan, and we've already talked to Bert about a level of granularity that doesn't exist. So if you've got, you know, it says multiple buildings. Well, what multiple buildings? Let's start listing it out so that as resolutions come in, we are footing to what we have in a plan, and it makes sense, and it's all starting to jive. So I think that's going to help. Mark, you want
to
add?
And if I could jump back to last week, to Legislator DeHaris's question about, to the extent that we would use used furniture that already exists in the IS department, we would use that department. We would only buy new where necessary. I know one of the questions was because
well, I was more talking about
not a customer-facing department so much that.
Well, I was more talking about taking from. I'm just using
anyway.
An example. DMV, which is more visible department, replacing their stuff with new and recycling their items to a non-visible department. That's more what I was referring to because that's what I do at my job is we recycle that way. But, I mean, the price $72,000, I would love to know the exact detail of what that is because we, for 16 cubicles fully outfitted, I paid less than $35,000 to have that done. So I don't know where this is.
Was that through an RFP?
Yeah, it was all bid. All bid through RFPs.
And that was the low bidder?
It was, I believe so in that case.
That was restorative justice.
So it was.
Okay. And you're going to put this to bid as well?
Everything, it has to.
Anything over there, right.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 43, authorizing improvements to the county-owned office space for departmental relocations. Oh, that's the bond. No.
Yes.
Sorry. For 165, this is now the...
I'm moving.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 45, authorizing the purchase and installation of the card readers at substations for the County of Ulster at a maximum estimated cost of $44,000 and authorizing the issuance of $44,000 in bonds. If I recall correctly, you were to get back to us on the cost because the calculations were...
In the response I gave to Amber, it gives a breakdown. I can review it if you'd like.
Yeah, because it came up short by $12,000, I think.
Yeah, it was $13,850. So the $35,000 contract includes 10 doors built at the contract rate of $19.95 each, and $15 a month over 8 months combined for $1,200 for the monitoring of the doors. In addition to that, there's $13,850 to contract an additional 6 doors if it's deemed secondary access is necessary, and the monitoring is also included.
Oh, so that's the difference.
But what I'm wondering is, why is that not in the contract? Like, when you have a response on the contract of what you went out for bid for, and that comes to the 21-something, and then you just added 13.
It was bid by door. Oh. So there was a rate we got per door. So we bid in extra money in case safety or whomever deems you need 2 garage doors in this location.
So a lot of times we have unit pricing in the bids, mm-hmm. as well as if we need 10 doors, they'll give us a bid for the 10 doors, but we'll ask for unit pricing so that... In the situation like this, where we need 6 more doors, we don't have to go back out to bid for the other 6. We already have the unit price that it'll cost. And if it turns out we only needed 9 doors, that unit price will be used to remove that cost off of the bid price.
Don't we know how many doors right now we're going to do?
We have at least 1 per substation, but in areas like New Paltz, we know we're probably going to have 2, just because of the unique layout of the building. And there may be other instances like that.
But I'm just confused why we don't know before. I mean, shouldn't we know how many, how hard is it to determine how many doors we need to have these on?
I mean, yeah, in some cases, like Mark's saying, it's driven by safety, so we can install 1 door each. But
it's not new construction, right?
No.
No, this is just adding card readers on the current doors, but not every door that we have requires a card reader.
But I'm just questioning why you don't know, before you come with a proposed project, why you don't know how many doors need it. It would strike me that that would be something you could easily ascertain in the field. I mean, we have people at those stations, so couldn't safety very easily ascertain how many doors we needed? It seems weird that here we are approving money and we're saying, well, we bid per door, and the contract says 10 doors, but we don't know. We might need 6 more doors, but I just don't understand why we don't know.
Do you really want to have your contracts have no flexibility whatsoever once you get on site and start building things and get the feedback on how it's going? And
we're not building things, are we?
Well, we're installing doors in this instance.
I'll give you an example.
They're card readers for doors that exist, yeah, right?
Right. I'll give you... Safeco's going through and installing like panic alarms on all of various different departments. I think the legislature is getting a lot of the different departments. They came to the executive's office. They had planned on 2. We had requested a third so that you know, each person sitting up where people come in will have one, and then there's one in the back. So it's a situation like that where, yes, we have a plan that for 10 doors, we plan on putting a card reader, but there could be an additional 6 doors. If we don't need those additional 6 doors to have card readers, we won't spend the money.
Okay, so I think, so what I think would be better in the future would be, if you know what the project is that you're looking for phase one, propose that to us, but in the contract you get from the bidder a separate price, an appendix or an option B that says per additional door it's this, and then come back to us when you need that additional.
My only concern on that is that a project like this takes a week, maybe 2 weeks, and they could install 6 extra doors in that other week. If they're out there and they decide, you know, we do the 10 doors and they decide they need additional doors, we have another month, we have more mobilization that Safeco would then have to go back to the sites.
We drive up the cost by.
But if you know that that quickly, then you know it now. If you know when they're on site, within when they're installing it then, if it's 2 weeks from now and they're installing the one lock, they're not going to know it then any more than they're going to know it in a week from then.
They're not in the field right now. I mean,
they're bidding on it just based on you're asking for a price. Nobody went out and pre-looked at all the locations, made a determination. Nobody did any of that is what you're saying.
They might have done a site visit initially. But, I mean, again, some of this is our own safety department that could turn around and say, no, we want you to have this door and this door. I mean, I get what you're saying.
To the extent that that's possible. That's like double the request. We need 9, but we might need 6 extra.
Well, there's 10% contingency on top of that then. So I think, you know, it kind of, we have a recommendation. I don't know if it's something that can be considered as we go forward, but this wasn't clear when we got it, that it was an additional 6 doors.
It's one of those unique situations where, since the contract itself wasn't $50,000, it didn't come to you.
Right.
But I'll make sure if that happens in the future, you get a better breakdown.
That would be helpful. Thank you. Okay. All in favor? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, not for this, but for future. Is there a way, since we do have 24/7 departments like the Sheriff's Department, instead of paying monitoring contracts, is there a way to have, maybe through the Sheriff's Department, monitoring done through them? And it's not really for this, because this is already in motion, but I'm just thinking if we could look at that as potential.
I would defer to the sheriff. I don't.
I could not hear what you asked.
Sorry, I was asking, it's because for the doors, they're going to be paying a monitoring contract for all these doors. And I just thought, since the Sheriff's Department is 24/7, if potentially that we wouldn't have to pay a company to monitor, that if an alert were to come up, it would actually go directly to either the 911 center or to the Sheriff's Department to alert that there's whatever issue with whatever door, instead of it now going to a monitor center just to be called on the phone to you guys to go investigate.
Well, sure, if you want to send me a couple extra bodies I can hire, absolutely.
Cool.
It all depends, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it all depends on how many locations we're talking about and how it affects manpower. I got one dispatcher.
Yeah.
If you ever go to the sheriff's office, you can see all the screens he's already working on.
Yeah.
So
it's on 24/7.
All right.
And, Ken. You know, it depends. All right. I have to look at it. I don't mind looking at it.
I just encourage you to take the tour of the jail that's been offered, because, you know, I know that the last time I was there and the time before that, you know, they could use another dispatcher there. Not to mention, we also did a tour of, and I think that you were there, Lister Archer, of the 911 center. And you know, as a volunteer, they could use people there too.
I know.
While we were there at the 911 center, they actually had a supervisor who was supposed to be supervising the whole staff, doing the calls for KFD, as well as helping out on other calls that were going on while we were there. So.
Okay. All right. On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 46, establishing capital project number 559, Bridge Flag Response, Department of Public Works. This is $100,000 in bonding on this resolution. The follow-up we had asked was some history on red and yellow flags, and determined, Don, that it wasn't possible given the system that monitors your bridge.
Yes.
You can't do a download into a spreadsheet off that system?
New York State system.
No.
You need an option.
You what?
You need a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Motion.
Second.
Second. Thank you. Thanks for reminding.
I had a discussion with a senior engineer this morning, David. I think it's possible through their system. They would have to dive down into every bridge inspection report for every single bridge, one by one, to deem when it was flagged.
So let me just ask, how does the department keep track if there? I get you depend on the state to do the inspections, right. But once you get the report, are you not keeping, you know, track of?
They get emailed when our bridges are flagged. Some of them are very minor. Like a red flag could be something as simple as the weight load change. Go change the sign on the bridge. So obviously that's something.
And that's a red flag.
Yeah, that can be. So obviously that's something we go out and do that day and we take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a wide variety of the apples to oranges. The cost for repair of a bridge can be $100,000 to $10 for a sign.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we set a priority based off the currently flagged bridges. In this case, we gave you the list of what are currently flagged. And then our guys set up a program in order to go out and repair those based off of what they see.
Well, we also get flags via email as they get inspected.
Right.
So those are the ones that, again, we could get a red flag next week.
Right.
So there's no place, unless you do extensive research in the state system, mm-hmm. where I say, okay, this bridge, what's been the activity there over the last 5 years?
So I'll tell you, one of our senior engineers last year decided to start keeping a log internally.
Okay.
And that's what you're seeing in front of
you. That's what you have.
Oh, so this
going
is...
Going forward, we're
so
going
what
to
you're keeping
tracking.
Like an Excel spreadsheet of what's
we have,
happening.
We keep a folder for each bridge flag
okay.
in our hard drive.
Okay.
So I can go to 2019 and see what bridges were flagged.
Got it.
But as well, in the financial system, each
asset.
Bridge is an asset. Mm-hmm. So if money was spent...
You can track money by bridge.
Because you're increasing the life of the bridge by making the correction.
Right. And we would know where we spent and when we spent that.
Okay. Eve?
So, maybe I'm misunderstanding. So you're saying you get an email telling you the flag, but you just never document it anywhere else. And so, like, if you searched your emails, you couldn't just find all of the emails telling you when...
Our email system cuts off emails at 2 years old, right? And then deletes them.
Okay. And so no one ever... Okay. So you have absolutely no access.
Now going forward, you're monitoring.
Yeah, I would suggest that anything like this, that you would get a message saying that there's some kind of yellow or red flag. I mean, I don't know how they do other things besides bridges, but it seems like it would be meaningful to keep track of all of those and not just lose them with the email.
So the question that came up earlier is you're bonding this $100,000 for emergency repairs.
Right.
Are you reducing any... I mean, you've already built emergency repairs based on prior experiences in your budget, right?
So the intent is any repair that would redeem useful life to a bridge would be paid out of this capital project. Since it's a capital asset repair, it should be bonded. Anything that's a couple years that gets us to the replacement schedule of the current bridge, we would still pay out of operating. Now, the money you see being spent out of operating in the past has been pinched from other areas. It could be road materials, it could be guide rail, it could be anything that we moved the money to just in order to make sure public safety was adhered to.
Okay. Trace?
That's it. When it exceeded the adopted, because it looks like we were adopting a modest $25,000 year over year. And we exceeded that 3 out of the 5 years, but 2 in
last
17
year was a
and
whopper,
18,
yeah.
We were...
But it averages about 50,000.
No.
But so what is the adopted for 2020 of the operating?
I want to say it's probably $25,000 again.
Why do we have it in operating if we're creating a capital program?
The short-term fixes we still have to do at operating because it's not going to add useful life to the asset if we're going to repair it.
Oh, you're talking about like a...
Yeah.
And prior year operating was?
Prior year 2019 operating budget was 25 budgeted, $63,000 spent.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds like your operating budget is too low.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it should be.
Well, now that's why the bonding. I think the bonding is going to help with it. That's your whole idea.
Our hope is that operating is where it should be, and
anything that extends the life of the bridge.
Capital.
I feel like what Mark said, though, maybe we can get that from you is from finance. If you are coding things
on
to
an
repair
asset
and maintenance,
level.
And then it's or if it's a fixed asset expense, that will tell us the history of the bridge based on just purely the expenses.
So when
158 of them too, so it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, that's okay. I think it'd be
but it's still distinguishing what's a normal maintenance versus
and you'll see bridges that are getting much more of that number than the rest.
It's also
this can be our
project
intent.
So you all have access.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, they have access. They have access.
Okay.
Any other questions on this?
After you vote, can I ask a question that's not relevant to the vote?
Oh, okay. About this?
Yes.
Oh, well, why don't you go ahead and ask now?
So, what did you say about the 2 years? Like, your emails go away after 2 years?
Yeah, or all just 365.
Okay, that doesn't happen elsewhere, so we spend a lot of money on a lot of stuff. Maybe we could figure out how to figure that out.
No, that's
an IT policy.
That's an IT policy for Office 365.
Archiving or anything? Like something like where bridges get flagged and somebody may not have printed something I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny.
If it was I think it's rare that the state would only notify us through email, so that's why typically email communications are only saved for 2 years.
The discussion goes beyond the bridges issue. I think email in general, I know
you
Oscar, we're back all the way to 2006.
Okay.
I have emails still in my save.
That's another conversation we can have. There's liability out there for keeping things that are beyond a certain amount of time.
All right. So on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 47, authorizing emergency improvements to various bridges throughout and in and for the County of Ulster at a maximum estimated cost of $100,000.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 49, authorizing preliminary planning for the future capital improvements, culvert inspections, in and for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $48,000.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any conversation? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? These are the bonds. Resolution 51, authorizing replacement of the Floyd Eckerd Bridge superstructure in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $175,000 and issuing of said bond.
Legislator Archer, if I could just, since the next one, two,
you want to block.
Three, four are just bond resolutions for capital projects we've already approved, I'd like to block them together.
Okay. So for resolution 51, 53, 55, and 60?
I'll second.
Second?
Okay.
Did 60 get passed?
Somebody got passed last week.
Yeah, 60 got passed.
That's
right. We're revisiting.
Yeah, so
51, 55.
53, and 55.
Okay, 51 blocked, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And I would just note, Mark, on the if you look at the one for the Floyd Eckerd, you will see that there's missing 2019 costs in the capital plan. I think this was one of them. And it was three bridges that you're looking at, three to five bridges every year for replacement. So you may want to check your capital plan on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
You said missing costs, you mean the number
it didn't reflect prior expending on this, and this is not a new...
The Floyd Eckerd Bridge?
Yeah, this is the various bridge, DPW, various bridges, right?
Yes. This is a new bridge this year.
I understand, but it's an old capital plan number. It's not a new one, right?
It's probably planning that happened ahead of
look at every 5 years.
Every
5 years, improving certain bridges. Anyway, we'll talk about that more. Okay, resolution number 60 of... authorizing the purchase and installation of a real property tax collection and delinquency enforcement software for the county, estimated at $575,000.
I'll make a motion to
the actual resolution.
Yeah,
right.
Just since we passed it last year, but I'd like to have a discussion about it.
Second? Is there a second?
Second.
Second?
So we had a discussion about this very briefly last week, and then we talked about it a little more in caucus. This was a resolution that we haven't yet gone out to RFP. Bert said he'd gotten some quotes for it, but my concern was, one, the practice of transmitting essentially what we're willing to pay prior to getting the RFP back. And through conversation in caucus, we said that it would likely not be much of an issue if we held this to next month or to the point when we had the RFP back and we could actually vote on approving the contract. So I'd like to make a motion that we postpone this.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last piece.
So I'd like to make a motion to postpone. I'm not opposed to the project. I don't like the idea of forecasting how much money the county is willing to spend.
So you're looking to postpone it or just change the resolution that
removes
the price?
Postpone.
I will say, when we do capital projects for public works, going back to when I became the director of purchasing, we stopped doing this.
It.
So.
Right.
This is just because it was a capital coming out of finance, and I think that was maybe an old system.
He wanted to get it on the sheet, so it's okay.
There's no reason not to do the RFP first,
okay.
Have a price, come back and establish the capital project for exactly the price that you're looking at.
So,
that's what I'm asking.
A second on the postponement?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so that'll be postponed. Resolution 81, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000. Morpho Trust USA.
We need to postpone the actual resolution.
Oh, yes, so we have to. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was the reconsideration, and that's why I made it specific. It was about the original resolution. So we postponed the original resolution.
Now we have to postpone.
Now we have to postpone 60.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're going to. Resolution 60, a motion to postpone.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so the original resolution was reconsidered and postponed, and so was the bond.
Which was the previous one that we postponed was
right.
59.
Yes. So resolution 59, just for clarity's sake. Thank you. Okay, 81, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Morpho Trust USA, Inc.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
The sheriff's here.
Okay, there was some follow-up from the sheriff on this. Did everybody get a chance to look at it in OneDrive?
And he's here, yeah.
Any questions on that?
I think the question was about what forms of substances we were using, but you answered it.
Right,
it was all
like
available.
A 2-year contract, and we were able to save $1,600.
This is different.
Per year,
this
so
is, yeah, this is.
This is Morpho Trust. This isn't
right.
This is
50,000 for
yeah.
Okay. It had the
yeah,
fingerprint
50,000 for
it.
The 100% county.
Okay. Yeah,
so
you said there was scanners.
Contract. You'll see it would require resolution because it's not over 50, but now it is 50. It went to resolution. It's a 2-year contract, and we have to say I believe it's $32,000. $1,600 per contract. So that they don't want to.
We're saving money by doing a 2-year contract rather than 1-year contract.
Okay.
I think, if I recall, Tracy would just want a clarity of what this was, like
yeah.
what it was going for.
The live scan.
The live printing.
So
what
basically, it's a workstation for live scan, fingerprinting at the jail.
Oh,
so when people are coming
in, not searching.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So what's this? So this resolution
was passed last week.
Okay,
but
this is the follow-up. This is a follow-up on Resolution 20, which is the funding from the New York State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse. Oh, okay, this was the what's being used.
Right.
And so the K-POD being utilized as a MAP dorm. Total of 6, 2 males, 4 females in the program. Any form of MAT is acceptable. Vivitrol, Suboxone, and Methadone. So that was part of the questions. Yes.
Just to the sheriff, we can cohabitate male and female.
Thanks,
and
Don.
No. Okay.
Well, matter of fact,
yeah.
No, not Matt. So Matt, the females are in the female pod, and
I got it.
And then K pod is for the males.
Oh, thank you. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Because
no.
You were saying it.
Well,
like,
that's
K-pod,
how it was combined. Yes. Yes.
I,
sorry. In the program. No, in the program. I wasn't clear.
Yes,
thank
and
you.
It has the APOD in parentheses.
Yeah. Yes.
Just while you're here, Sheriff, just a quick question. So currently, they all came in, what you have right now, already on MATs?
So, right. They have, they're on prescriptions.
What, they were on prescriptions when they were
when
brought
they
into
the
jail? Okay. And you're just continuing them on?
That is correct.
Okay. And then where are we supposed to get the information? How will it be coming to the legislative body moving forward with how, you know, how many inmates have been either prescribed MATs or where you're at? Is that something, I understand it's going to be shared with the body. Is that correct?
If you have questions, absolutely, I'd be more than happy to answer. Like right now, we have six. We started January 15th, and as far as what drugs were, I know that was one of the questions.
Right.
It's the drugs that are, so the purpose, let's talk about this grant for a second. So the grant was for $1 million. Each county got a particular number. No reason why. The other reason, the other thing that was interesting about it is that it goes to the county health department in order to pay for MAT drugs only for the jail. So technically speaking, I don't control that money. The county department of health controls that. We would submit any particular bills to them, and then they would pay. We're not at that point because we don't have that many people. We have six right now. Prime Care is paying for that, and if they're on methadone, we get that from the clinic. So there are no costs at this point other than the contract that we have with Prime Care. However, that $50,000 that's coming to the county health department will offset any costs that the county will incur in regards to any MAT. And MAT has to be actual drugs that are being purchased for the purposes of medical assistance treatment.
Okay.
That's the reason for the $50,000. There's no other reason for that fine.
Okay.
Can they be prescribed once they're there? Or did,
excuse me?
Can they be prescribed once they're there?
When we move into our next phase, yes.
Okay,
that's
are they
the
ex-waivered, the providers that are currently at the jail?
Excuse me?
Are they ex-waivered,
yes.
The ones at the jail?
Can't do it without
that. Right, right. That's why I wondered if they were or were they possibly becoming ex-waivered. Okay.
All right.
Can I
all
answer
right.
your question, I hope?
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. Any other questions? Anybody want to add anything?
I just, following our leadership meeting, I just wanted to just inform the committee that we would be having at some point coming up a joint meeting of Public Works and Ways and Means to discuss the capital plan as a whole, so we can all get a better idea of the things that are in there and the things that have changed year over year, as it's a 5-year plan. So,
yes, Mark.
I would like to request an invitation to that meeting. I would really like to have staff in the room with capital project planning is being discussed, and to that end, actually, it would be very, very helpful if there are supplemental materials given to the Ways and Means Committee. I would love to get a copy of those before I sit down, if there or have a stack.
All we have is
together.
The capital plan, and
okay.
That's what we're working from. So,
and it's going to be a public meeting, so you're absolutely more
welcome.
Than welcome, and we'll make sure that
you
and your staff are
terrific.
Given an invitation.
And just one more, we talked about that earlier, but one more that we talked about earlier as well, which is where we have a resolution that is ending because there's staff attached to it, and the funding has ended. And we have to eliminate the staff. We're going to create a process so that the standing committee of jurisdiction will have a conversation with the department to talk about, are they going to continue the program anyway? Is there opportunity internally to fund it? And what's the value, some quantitative elements of what the program has done and why they want to continue or not. So it's creating kind of a rationale as to why they want to continue it and then look for opportunities to fund it. So more to come, but that's it. Thank you. All right, thank you, everyone.
And we'll be adjourned.
Thank
second.
You. Second? All right, thanks, everyone.
6:09.
Thank you.
Thank you.